Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, September 10th, 2022. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, and my partner Jim Knox, and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, indicator-calls.com, and iiicalls.com. And some of our older calls are still on YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. And just star six to raise your hand. And before we get started today, Jim has a few comments he'd like to make.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I've been involved with this trust now since the 90s, early 90s. And back in the late 80s, this trust was being touted in Alaska, where I'm from, and they were selling for $10,000. And then in the early 90s, when Bruce and I finally started working together, Bruce Ripley, we would have these seminars, and he had set it up to where you had to show up with a cashier's check for $10,000. You couldn't get in the door. So you showed up for the $10,000, and then the Saturday morning we would go through. Friday night we'd do the presentation. Saturday night we'd go start through it. And then at lunchtime he'd buy a very high protein type pack meals. He didn't want you to have a bunch of pasta fall asleep during the seminar. It was usually steak, and it was really good. And he told everybody, as you go to lunch, if you want to buy a trust, leave your $10,000 check next to your, on your table, next to your stuff, and we'll pick it up. And if you decide you don't want the trust, go have a beautiful lunch on us and take your check with you. So that's how it all started. And so we would get try to keep it around 30 people. We'd get 12, 14, 16 people with one trust. We would do those a couple times a month. And it was quite successful. Nowadays, that same trust is depreciated in value only because of the depreciation of value of the American dollar down to $2,000. So we have to realize the value is really there. And if you look at the devaluation of the U.S. dollar, these things right now should be selling for $20,000, $21,000, $22,000. But they're not. That's okay. So when you buy our trust, it's a one-time payment. That is why I built this website, to educate and empower you. In addition to the main website, we have the III Calls website, which has over 100 PDFs of the narrative of the calls attached to each call. Now, you can download all those, put them right on your computer. Each one is a diamond. You should treat them as such. They're very, very valuable. Now, I have 9 people contact me this week with emails, extensive emails, having questions. I haven't gotten to half of them yet because it's just so intensive to have to do the research, the things they should already know. So what we've decided is, it's a one-time fee. You get the website, you get the call website, you get the application website. Website's being updated all the time. There's a lot of stuff information there that I'm adding. We have the novella. It's in there right now, started under estate planning. I'm adding more pages to the menu. I didn't want to have to add a bunch of more menu items, but I see it's going to be necessary. And it's getting to be a little bit annoying that I have to go through and continually repeat myself. So what we decided to do is, if you want us to manage the paperwork, the minutes, the resolutions, the contracts, whatever you want us to do, it's $80 an hour. We'll do it. We'll hire some people to help us out. We'll do it. Or you can read, reread, and reread again the trust indenture and the contract. It's only 10 pages. 75% of the time when people call me and ask me a question is within those 10 pages. The answer is always within those 10 pages. That's annoying. Okay? You need to start reading this document. It's worth so much money. I mean, for some of us, it's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's going to keep you out of trouble. You just better start teaching yourself how to read this thing and start understanding that the value is there. So you can either spend time on the website, you can download all the documents, you can make changes via the minutes, you can do everything that you need to do without having us involved. You need to start educating yourself. One of the things I have found, and Carol's found recently, is somebody has been able to say, well, I need to change the trust because this and this happened. You can't change the trust. You don't mark through the trust. You don't change the indenture. You change the procedure by modifying a trust document. I mean, you can't modify a trust. You do it by minute. You have to do minutes. So it says here, to change a trust, you must do it with the minutes and resolutions. You cannot modify the trust documents. Now, we never intended to manage your trust, but if enough of you want us to do it, we will. We'll get the staff in and we'll do that. I'm in the middle right now writing a novella, and I plan on getting it up and finished by this weekend, but I've had so many people call me and email me about all of these little things they want, they don't understand, because they won't read. Well, you're going to have to start paying for it. We just can't continue doing it this way any longer. So if you wanted to do it, you can build $80 an hour for the first hour, and then we'll build you in increments of 1/4 hour after that. Remember, knowledge is power. Be powerful. Everything you need to know is already on the website. You just need to get involved. Yeah, it may not be the easiest thing to navigate, but I'm changing that because people are complaining constantly about it, and I understand. So if you go to the estate planning tab, you'll see what I've added as the initial draft of the first part of the novella. And I call it novella. I don't know what to call it, whatever you want, a book. But here's the deal. You can see right now that we're seriously putting out this information. And I'll tell you right now where I'm getting most of this information. I'm getting it not from the website. I'm getting it from the PDFs that are attached to all the phone calls because Carol's done a phenomenal job over the years putting all this together time and time and time again. And in here, what I'm going to do is when I refer to something in here, it'll have the number of the call where I got that information. So you can go listen to the call, and you can read the PDF. And it'll also be right here on the website. So I'm trying to put this together to make it easy for everybody to follow along how to set this up, how to run your life, how to use your trust in the most positive way. In addition to that, I've just modified the menu at the top. So now we have supporting court cases, U.S. Constitution, and, of course, the III members page, which people ask me to put together, which I have. I haven't got any response yet, but I have put that together. Under the tab called List of Pages, is every page that we have in the website that are current and some are not quite current. It says if they're under construction. But they're all there. I got a call the other day. Somebody wanted to know, how do I do the end of year minute? I says, go to the list of pages and go down to E for end. Find it right there, end of the year minute. There it is. I also, Carol asked me to add the tools tab to the menu, which I'll do today. And in there, what we're going to add to that is all the fonts, because in that page, that one called Tools, that's where you find recommended tools for data use like RoboForm, MailWasher Pro, and mail drops for all your trusts, letters that declare your trust, change of address, how to order paper. Okay, right below how to order paper later today will be how to load all the fonts to make it look the same. And it's already there. I'm just going to add it here also. So we're trying to get this thing done for you folks. But, man, I mean, I just can't be spending hours and hours and hours of answering the same question from different people. You need to participate. And as far as the RV, I don't want to go down that road. So I think that's all I wanted to rant and rave about. But, you know, we're willing to work with you. But you have to be working with us. And the first thing you do is you read your trust 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 times. 75% of the time, and I'm repeating myself, I know him, 75% of the time, the answer to your question is within those 10 pages of that document. It's there. You just have to participate. You know, knowledge is power. Become powerful. Just read. All right, Carol, I'm done.
Okay, that's good, Jim. It wasn't quite the rant that I was expecting, so you did good.
Yeah, well, I was tempered myself down. I had a cup of coffee and calmed down.
Free to go. But Jim's right, folks. The website is there to not only guide you, but to empower you. We don't know if anybody else is doing what we do. I mean, I hope for other people's sake people are. But we, Jim, has put all of this together for your benefit. So please take advantage of it. It is, as you know, it is a members-only website because we don't want anybody coming back in and using something that we wrote to put in their trust. If, you know, God forbid they did something wrong, we don't want it to come back on us. But everything that is on our website is applicable to our trust, and most of it has been time-tested anyway. So it's a very, very valuable tool for you. But let's talk about trust for a minute. You know, you've heard me talk about common law trusts for a long, long time now. But these trusts are actually contracts in trust format. Technically, they are irrevocable common law contract business trusts. The beauty of that means they get their strength and validity from the U.S. Constitution rather than from laws created from local jurisdictions. Irrevocable provides superior asset protection. Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're making some noise back there.
You want to mute yourself? Sorry. I'll set the phone down.
Okay. Anyway, irrevocable provides superior asset protection. As in any contract, one cannot contract with him or herself, so we use a third party to facilitate it. That person is the creator. The creator temporarily takes title to your assets and exchanges them into the trust. He or she then names the first trustee. It could be anyone of their choosing, but typically he or she will choose you, the original exchanger. Who better to manage a property that was once yours? You can choose to be creator. You can choose anybody, an adult child, your brother-in-law, your coworker, your neighbor. They should be geographically close to you. We both need to sign several pages in front of a notary public. Once the creator has completed these two tasks, putting the assets into the trust and appointing the first trustee, he or she is released from all future responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding the trust organization. Now, keeping your business to yourself is important. So I suggest asking if they, your proposed creator, would help you out with some estate planning, which is the truth. Explain that the trust you're contemplating using uses a disinterested third party to create or initiate the trust, and that he or she will have absolutely no liability regarding the trust after signing a few pages. The creator does not need to know what or how much of anything you wish to put in the trust. Schedule A merely lists $100 in miscellaneous foreign currency. Amounts are never listed, nor should they ever be. Should you purchase more currency, the trustee, you, merely notes the purchase in a minute. You will never add to what is initially listed on Schedule A. Sample minutes are included with your trust and are also available on our members-only website. The creator has absolutely no access to the trust or the trust bank account. One of the creator's duties, as I mentioned earlier, is to temporarily take title to the assets, in this case your currency, and exchange it into the trust. The certificates that he or she signs over to you are evidence of that exchange. The certificate represent your right to a share of any distribution by the trust and becomes null and void upon your death. We provide a certificate template for the benefit of your successor trustees, who most likely will make them out to themselves upon your death. Do not sign them. It's a template. When your successor trustee takes over, they use that template, copy it onto certificate paper, and then it's signed. Minutes provide a history of your actions, which is especially useful for future generations of successor trustees. We do supply a blank minute page for you, which shows you the template heading. You can handwrite your minutes, which cannot be altered like a computer file, should you choose to type them and send a copy of the handwritten notes behind them. And as Jim mentioned, we have all this stuff on the website. We have the fonts, we have the template for the page, and we've got, again, all of those minutes. Some people think this trust isn't valid because it doesn't name any beneficiaries. A typical grantor trust, in which you give or grant your assets to a trust, has beneficiaries to whom the asset goes at your death and the trust terminates. The contract trust that we use does not terminate when you do. You died, but the trust did not. That's why we have successor trustees who take over the management of the trust upon your death. And some people are still wondering, why do I need a trust at all? Why don't I just take all this money in my own name? Well, from a banking perspective, you must have a trust or other entity if you're to receive more than $1 million. On the practical side, having assets in your own name can be reckless. Plus, it can wreak havoc on your estate plan when you die. Trusts are used to create estate planning and anonymity. Most folks have a will. Upon their death, their will gets probated. This means the judge determines the validity of the person's will. And here's the frustrating part. If anyone disagrees with anything in your will, that person can sue your estate. Ah, it gets even better. Did you know that once your will is probated, that it becomes a public document? That means anyone and everyone can read your will. A trust works differently. If you have an irrevocable common law contract trust holding your property, the second you die, the manager of the trust transfers to the successor trustee. No muss, no fuss. Best of all, because the trust is a private document, no one can see behind the curtain. As your net worth increases, privacy becomes more and more important. The first axiom, I'm sure you've all heard this, the first axiom in prudent planning is to, first axiom in prudent estate planning is to own nothing in your own name, but to control everything. There are several ways to get money from the trust. You can borrow, draw a trustee's salary, get reimbursed for expenses, take a distribution, or fund new trusts for specific reasons. Initially, all you need is a mother of trust, which holds your currency and will be the trust you use it to exchange. You'll probably want additional trusts in the future, such as management trusts, real estate, vehicle, annuity, charitable, etc. We do not recommend putting other assets into the mother-load trust. You will surely want more trust as your business and property acquisitions grow. This first trust, the mother-load, will hold the bulk of your money and should not be exposed in any way. We do recommend a management trust to act as your public arm. As Jim mentioned earlier, this trust is a legal document. It is irrevocable, meaning you cannot change the terms of the trust. But you are expected to act in the best interest of the trust. Any interest you take must be recorded in the minutes. If something changes, like the death of a trustee or divorce, do not scratch out the old names. Write a minute noting the event. And sample minutes, again, are on the website. Typical turnaround time is 4 to 5 days right now. We expect it to be considerably longer post-RV. Our trusts are reasonably priced at $19.95 for the mother-load trust and $16.95 for additional trusts, except real estate trusts, which may be higher. Jim and I are not planning on retiring anytime soon. However, we will both be taking a few weeks off immediately post-RV to attend our own business. We understand that you may be anticipating purchasing some property or vehicles during that time, so we are offering an abstract of trust to assist you in closing those deals. The application is on our website, the3itrustapp.com, and costs $200. This is available only to existing clients. But Jim, that's about it. So, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. I've been thinking about what we talked about on the training. One of the things that we, Carol and I, are considering, and we're not saying we're going to do it, but we're considering putting together like a Zoom page, Zoom broadcast, and do it, say, twice a week until the RV happens, and just go over the trust. Go through line by line on the trust itself, discuss it, have people commenting, and then I'd record that, and then I would put it on, I'd create a page, put all those on the page, additional training. If we have the RV right away, which I don't know if we will or not. If we do, that'll be postponed. But we're looking at different ways to help you people learn this trust, because I can't do what you're wanting me to do. I can't. I got three emails from one woman that just keeps adding more and more questions. And it's just impossible for me to sit here and go through that. It would take me 2 hours to write what she wants me to write. That's 2 hours out of 8 hours. Can't do that. So we need to get you self-trained. And it's not hard. But just read the trust. Other than that, Carol, you wanted to bring up some more stuff. And you want to talk about that now?
No, I think I'll wait hang on a bit for later. But let's put it for Q&A right now. And we'll go back
okay.
together.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, anybody have any questions? We are open to them. And actually, guys, this call works better for everybody when you participate. So whatever you have to ask, we appreciate, and we'll do our best to answer it. Okay, we have, let's see, who's next? Okay. Ona, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you, Carol?
I'm well.
I heard your comment about the Zoom call. I really welcome that. If you can put it together, I would be first on your list, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mark, you're next.
How are you guys doing? Long time no speak.
Been a while.
I wanted to find out, as far as post-RV, do we need separate trusts, I'm sorry, for each of the currencies, or can they all go as one into the mother lode and then open up other trusts for the real estate and projects that we're doing?
Well, to me, that's like a two-part question. As far as the different currencies, what I understand is we will need different accounts for each currency. So you're going to have your mother lode trust for dinar, mother lode trust designated for dong, mother lode trust designated for zim, et cetera, et cetera. That, I mean, I have heard that now for the past year. Not separate trust, but separate accounts. The other part of your question was, yes, when you decide to buy real estate and cars, they should all go into their same, excuse me, all go into their own trust.
Okay.
The reason being, if whatever some kind of liability, whatever it may be, is attached to one, it's by itself. If you have other properties or vehicles in the same trust, that potential liability attaches to all of them. So once again, you want to keep everything as insulated and isolated as possible.
Okay, because one of the project that we're planning on doing is a combination of six projects that I hope eventually to replicate in all 50 states. So does each piece need its own trust, or does each combination of six projects need a trust and then one separate for each of the states that we move to?
Jim, you want to take that one? Jim, you're muted. Oh, I have to go find you, I guess. Hang on a second here. I just love this. Hang on a second here. There you are.
Okay. All right, so I'll answer that question. I don't know what the projects are. I would say that if you want to not discuss it on here, that's fine. You can send me an email, and I can respond to that. But normally, no. You can combine different things into one trust for a project, not a item, and you don't need them for separate states. You can have one if the system qualified where everything can go into one trust. You only have to have one trust for all 50 states. You don't have to have a separate one for each state. So it shouldn't be that much of an issue if it's a business entity. I need to look at that and see exactly how you're structuring it to be able to give you better advice. But if it's a service, that's a different story.
Now, also, the one kind of main question is, part of the instructions from this group that we were involved with indicated, and I know that the three of us had discussed this a long time ago, indicated that we should get their revocable trust, which they've explained is basically just for the day of the exchange, so that you do have a trust in this and that and the other. And I've tried to explain to people the reasoning behind why you should have the irrevocable trust. Do these people actually need to have that revocable trust?
No. See, that's the bugaboo right there, is we're getting all these conflicting interests, opinions about irrevocable and revocable. Revocable is one that anybody, I mean, the judge or anybody else can revoke if they take it to court. Irrevocable, good luck. That isn't going to happen. Anytime you deal with something revocable, it's just a sham. I just use what I call as a sham because it's revocable. They can take and back it, date it and everything, take your money. Now, these revocable, I don't believe that they're, I do believe that when you go to the exchange, they're going to welcome what we've got because they understand that you're well prepared because you've got a system that's working and it's been around for years and years. I mean, there's nobody can compare with what we do. We've been all the way to the Ninth Circuit, all the way to the Supreme Court, reviewed the Ninth Circuit decision and sent it back and told the IRS, you lost. Give it up. So, you know, this actual trust changed the Internal Revenue Code. So you really can't argue too much about that. If they start saying, well, you that trust is, wait a minute, folks, this went to the Supreme Court. Did your little revocable trust go to the Supreme Court? I don't think so. So that's been my rebuttal all along, is we have the horsepower. They have nothing.
Right.
Just me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you guys both.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Oh, we had another question, and that person is gone. Okay. So we'll just have to wait until we get somebody else. In the meantime, just something else on my mind. In about a month, I have to go back to Seattle to testify in a trial. The reason I'm testifying is because some people who have watched some trust use them in a way that they shouldn't have been used. They use them to create fraud, actually, which obviously I was not aware of when I did them. One of the things that I typically do when I speak to people that have been referred to me is you have any issues that you're looking at right now, any legal issues, anything that you might be trying to protect your assets for at this point. And if they say yes, I say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You know, a lot of people have been said to me over the years to do that. Well, let's protect this asset because this guy's going to have to go to court. No, I don't do that. In any event, the people that I'm referring to, the man that I'm referring to, did not have any issues at the time, at least none that I were aware, that I was aware of. But a couple years ago, I was a witness before the grand jury and explained this whole trust to them and what this person did or did not do. And now I'm being asked to go back for the actual trial. They recognize the trust. They recognize the value of the trust. There's no issue with the trust whatsoever. The only issue is the manner in which this person used it. So, you know, I know Jim has been asked to be an expert witness in the past, and now I guess I am as well. So then I think this should give you a little more confidence that Jim and I do know what we're talking about. And we're both very, very confident that our trust will stand any scrutiny whatsoever. Jim, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. As a professional witness, which I am classified as a professional witness, you know, I've never spoke about this, folks, on these calls. I never blew my horn on this. But I have attorneys that I do work for from time to time, and I go review their trusts, and they pay me. And I had one company, an attorney that used me quite extensively in 2015 and 16 on a couple of cases, and they paid me a lot of money. And that's at the point I was declared a professional witness for trust. So, you know, Carol and I have got a lot more going than most people understand. We don't want to go down the road and talk about that stuff that often. But when something like this comes up, and it will affect you, our clients, because, you know, this is going to go to trial. Now, we suspect one of them is going to settle out of court, take a plea bargain, and one's probably not. But we've been doing this for a long time, and I've probably been, I don't know, less than a dozen times, but close to a dozen times, I've been involved in the litigation. And so it's been exciting. I just don't like doing it because I don't want to see somebody go to jail. you know, and I get emotionally involved with it. But, yeah, so Carol is now considered to be a professional witness also. And I was involved. I was not involved with this that she's talking about now, but I was there at her house a few times when all this was going down. And it was kind of nerve-wracking. And we didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out. But when we found out the rest of the case, what had happened, when we just, you know, sigh of relief, it had nothing to do with us, they committed to crime using the trust to try and shelter their name and so on and so forth. And it bit him in the butt. So Carol's going to get a nice ride in an airplane, a nice hotel, I hope. And we should see how this works out. And she, you just did your pre-thing, didn't you, just the other day?
Yeah, I did an interview, telephone interview, Zoom interview the other day.
Yeah. Okay, so you're probably going to be heading out in a month or so.
Middle of October, rather. So about a month.
Yeah. So what that does for you guys is it shows that we know what we're doing, and the professionals call upon us to help them. And it's not the first time it's happened. So, and it probably won't be the last time either. So, rest assured that what we've got here, we feel very confident that this document will stand up at any court. It's already took down the IRS. Come on. You can't beat a bigger dog than that. And it's nerve-wracking, though.
And, you know, as I said, in this particular case, it's not the trust itself that was called into question. It's the way this gentleman used it. So, anyway, enough about me. We do have a few more questions here, so let's go there. I think Al next. Okay. Oh, there you go. Al, you're online.
Ah, thanks. Hey, great call so far. I'm really enjoying it. And,
thank you.
Mike, two simple questions. Okay, so the first one, if the dinar people do their exchange before the RV, is that going to have some effect? Is there some way you would recommend going to the exchange with respect to my trust?
I didn't understand that. Now, re-ask the question.
Okay. There's the possibility that Iraq will make their change in their currency before the RV goes, before it goes. The rest of the planet will not be changing. They'll go first.
No. Hold on a second. They did. They made their change. They've already done that. And it's now $3. And as I understand it from my sources, and I think mine are fair, not great, but fair, it is $3.71 in country. But it doesn't affect us. Because it's still in country. I don't think you'll see a tier situation. I think it'll all go once. And because it would be a real mess to try and do it individually by currency. You know, on Monday you do a dinar, on Tuesday you do Zim, on Wednesday. No, that can't happen. That would be too much fraud involved, potential for fraud involved in that. So they want this thing to happen to get it done. That's my opinion. I mean, it makes sense that they would want the first basket to be all of the currencies. We have 209 countries right now that are involved in this. They've got to go at the same time. Otherwise, the people that are in control of certain currencies would just become instantaneous trillionaires because they'd be buying one and selling it against the other one. I don't think they'll let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's just my opinion.
Right. Yeah, okay. I've heard that they may let it float, so it may be changing from that with respect to the price of oil. If it did go that way, it seemed to me it'd be a simple thing to just go in and exchange it and have that deposited into an account in the name of the trust that I'm the trustee for. And then the other part went separately. I mean, all the other countries, hundreds of them, went separately, then just go back again. That's what I thought. I just thought maybe you'd have some idea about that. But I'm happy with what you're saying.
I don't think they'll let you do that because you could take, if the dinar came in at 371, you got a bunch of that money, go buy a bunch of other currencies, and then they exchange. See the point? That would be
double dipping.
Yeah, totally unethical and probably unlawful.
That's true. Okay, so, great. Well, my next question is, I'm on the West Coast and in the worst state, I think, for taxes. And it's, but the trust that I'm the trustee for is situated in one of the states that you recommended. And I just wanted to double check that I should not be charged any tax for this until I receive a salary from the trust for my duties as trustee, because the trust is in a state that doesn't have the kind of tax that I'm talking about. I can't think of the name of it, but it's capital gains tax. It doesn't have a capital gains tax, but this state where I live does. So that's right.
Well, I'm in Oregon, and I have my trust domiciled in the state of Washington, because the state of Washington has sales tax. They don't have an income tax. Oregon has an income tax, a very high income tax. So with the sales tax, I don't buy anything in up there in Washington. I don't go hardly ever go up there. And so it's just domiciled there, and so I don't have any state tax. All that I would have if, and I don't think this will ever happen, but if they decide to change and put a national tax, then, yeah, you'd have to pay the national tax. But I think what's going to flow out of this new government, we'll call it, is we're going to have a flat tax, which I don't know what the number would be, but let's just use some numbers and say that if you buy anything new, it's 10%. If you buy anything used, it's 0%. Well, that's the tax that we should have had all along if you're going to tax people, because the rich buy more toys than the poor, so they're going to pay the taxes. And if you buy a used house or used car, you don't pay taxes. So that's what they should have been doing all along. In fact, it was set up originally to do it that way. But remember, Internal Revenue Service. I don't know if you people know that internal means within the government. And what happened is when they used to send the diplomats to a foreign country, they charge them 1% to 1.5% of their income to be able to supply them with military protection on their duty station. That's what this came from. Therefore, they call it internal, not external, Internal Revenue Service. That's where this came from. And then, we can just hoodwink the rest of the Americans and start charging them, and they did.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for answering questions. I appreciate it very much. And I like the idea of the Zoom. Would that Zoom call, if you do it, would it be open to us clients, or would it just be you folks doing Zoom? Oh,
No.
Good.
It's open to the clients. You got to be a member to be able to get in, and we'll send out a special code. So you can use the code to be on board. We want just our people. It'll be recorded and on the website, and yet, since it's a members-only website, we'll hide it within the website so nobody else can see it. Because we don't, like Carol said, we don't want our competition using our training to make their product better. Because it's not the same product. One is they're using revocable and trusts and LLCs and combination thereof, and oh my gosh. Some of the things I've seen, oof, they'll never fly in a court of law.
Very scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank
right,
you
well,
very much.
You bet. Thank you for the vote of confidence. We will try and get that Zoom up shortly.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Mark, you're up again.
I'm back. You guys, in your travels, have any connections or contacts of, like, common law attorneys, accountants who are up to speed with what the new laws are going to be, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, an attorney that understands common law, that's an oxymoron. That's never going to happen because they don't make any money. Remember, they are esquires. And the organic 13th Amendment to the Constitution says no person of the title and nobility shall ever hold a public office. Well, Esquire is part of the colonies. And since they are actually operating out of the Bar Association, which stands for Barristers Accredited Record out of England, they don't qualify to have American citizenship. So why would you deal with them? But that's my personal opinion and my professional opinion. So as far as attorneys, there's going to be a lot of them to be retrained. shortly. I mean, I have actually live within 10 miles of three law schools. And I've been over there a couple times talking to them. Well, this is about 5-6 years ago. And was asking if they had any courses on common law. Oh, no, that's archaic. There's no such thing. I thought to myself, man, you're in for a rude awakening when you finally get dragged into court on that. But anyway, no, I don't think we'll have to worry about it. I think there will be a special group of attorneys that will evolve out of that. I don't think they'll be called attorneys. I think they're going to come up with a different name. And they will not be a member of a bar association. And, you know, on our website, by the way, if you really want to have some fun, go to down at the bottom. Let me pull it back up here. And if you go to the main page, and
okay.
I'm going there now. I got to get there. I was in the middle of editing. All right, so if you go to the main page, and you go all the way to the bottom, below where it says next scheduled call, which has got all zeros right now, it says number 10. Currency revaluation news. Click here. In there, there's a couple videos. The second video shows two men sitting in a auditorium. And it's Jordan Maxwell. He just passed 17th of March of this year, which is a real sad situation because he was really, really sharp. And he's got 30, 40 videos out there. And he works with words. And in this one, he's talking about maritime law rules, religion, and economics. It's only 6 minutes long, 6.5 minutes long. You should watch that. Everybody should watch that. And then there's a link below to go look at the rest of his stuff. The man was brilliant, and he explains what the Bar Association is, so why there's a bar in the courtroom. Why is the judge up higher? Why does the judge wear black? Why do they call, you know, certain words? And he explains all that. And it, when he explains it, it makes so much sense. You will really like it. So I suggest everybody go down and watch that.
Excellent.
So did I answer your question, or did I confuse everybody?
Nope. And I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
Thank you. Okay, we need a few more questions here, folks.
Well, if they're not going to, I have some things I can add to it, so just flag me down when they get there.
We do have one more here. Let's see.
Okay.
Angelfish.
Oh.
You're on.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Just a quick question. I think my name changed. Anyway, quick question. What is the website address for the? I actually lost my password. And I think I'll have to reset. But I guess I'll need to call you, Carl, or Jim.
No. Hold on a second. If you need to reset your password, there's a form for that. You need to go through that. And unless I get the form, I can't find you on the website. So what you need to do is go over to let me pull it up here real quick. Just a second here. I got to go back out of here. And on the main page of our website, it says
could you give me the website address again, please?
IndicatorInformation.com. Indicator, INDICTAOR, information, INFORMATION, .com.
Yeah,
IndicatorInformation.com. All right. All right. So now on there,
okay.
When you get to that page, you've got at the very in the white area, it says we have our own conference page, web page now. You can click there. And then it says complete your application at 3i Trust app. Click there. All right, go to 3i Trust app. I'm going to push the button to go there.
No, just a second. I'm trying to get to indicator information. Is it www or
No, you don't have to put the www. Just type in indicatorinformation.com into your address bar and it should come right up.
Okay, IndicatorInformation.com.
.com, yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, so then our application site is called 3i Trust App, 3itrustapp.com. When you go there, at the very, and there's a menu there.
Oh.
The very last one on the menu says login issues. Go into that one, fill it out. It asks you just a few things. And when you fill it out, then I can give you questions, you know, can't get logged into the load page, you forgot your username, forgot your password, you tried to change your password, other describe below. And so you got to give me your email address, your phone number, your name, the username. What was your username? What was your password? If you don't know it, well, at least give me something to be able to find you.
I don't remember what the password was, but it was a very long,
Well, you know, we've been trying to get everybody to use the Bright tools. And in the tools section of our website, it talks about MailWasher Pro. It talks about RoboForm. RoboForm is a password management tool. It's a free version. We make no money if you buy it or not. But I've been using it for 12, 13, 14 years. I got over 500 passwords that I have to remember.
Okay.
And so with RoboForm, it just, you install it, you teach it what you put your stuff in there, and it's pretty self-evident how it works. And then there's a little, it's like a screen with two eyeballs up in your address bar at the top. Just click on it, alphabetical pops up, and then you push on it once you've loaded in to get information, and it automatically goes to the website, logs you in, and puts you on your start page all in one step.
Okay.
And it's free. So get a good password manager.
Okay. So would
it's called RoboForm, R-O-B-O-F-O-R-M, RoboForm.
Okay. Would I save that on my computer or on a disk?
No, it's good for your computer. You can put it on your phone, you can put it on your computer, but if you're going to be using and learning, don't do it on a phone. Get your computer set up and get RoboForm installed. You know, if you have to, hire somebody to help you set it up. It's a very valuable tool. It saves so much time. Like I said, I've got over 500 passwords. So in that way, once it's in there, you will never have to worry about losing your username or password, because it also has a function where it will save it in the cloud. If it's a paid-for version, this is a cute little trick that they have. You have a little, you get a thumb drive, and you download this little program from RoboForm onto this thumb drive. And when I go to my clients' buildings, my clients' residences, and I'm working with them, I have that thumb drive with me. I can put it in their computer. It then goes to the cloud and finds all of my RoboForm usernames and passwords, because I'm going to be working on their stuff. And then I can then open it from the cloud on their computer with that little thumb drive in there. Now, when I'm done, I pull the thumb drive out. All the program was on the thumb drive. It leaves no residue, no tracks on their computer to ever to get into anything you were using on their computer. So it's a way for you to securely and safely go from computer to computer, because you may want to set this up and take that thumb drive and put it in your purse, your pocket, or whatever, when you go to the bank or someplace. You can say, here, plug this into your computer, and I can show you. And you can load up the website, and your all your stuff is right there.
Yeah, that was one of my concerns. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So learn about RoboForm. And I'm going to add, before the end of the day, I will add in the main menu, it'll say tools. And that will be where you go to find that.
Okay, that is so great. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Go to the 3iTrust app, fill out the application that says login issues, and I'm get it within just seconds of you pushing the button, and I'll get it figured out for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Terry. There you are. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you? It's been a long time.
I'm doing well. I have missed many calls, you know, over the last few months, and I thought, well, I better call in and say hello. I don't have any questions per se for you, other than how are you? But you've already answered that. Anyway, all things are fine and well here in Canada. I've been occupied by, you know, by some other things for the last number of months. And I'll leave this by saying that, I live in Canada. So any Canadian listeners, this their program works in Canada just as well as the United States. Indicator Institute, both Jim and Carol are excellent service, excellent advice. They'll certainly help you get where you want to go with the thing. I highly recommend it. But anyway, that's all I really have to say. So, hello, I'm still here, still alive, still kicking. And
good.
All right, and I'll send you the Terry, I'll send you that check for that referral, that great referral you just gave us. It's probably in the mail.
Yeah, I've had that message before. It's in the mail, right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Terry, you can catch up with everything we've been doing because we still have everything. I'm using this as a segue, by the way. You can go to 3icalls.com, and all of the stuff that you may have missed is there, including the PDFs of everything we read. So it's all there, folks. You can just go there anytime you want and download them. Yeah. Remember, the PDF is downloadable. It's as I was building the novella, that's where I'm getting most of the information for the novella because Carol does an excellent job of putting these things together. And so why reinvent the wheel? I just go to the PDFs and I find segments of the PDFs and then I put it in the novella. Now, when the novella is done, at the top of something you'll say like number 110 or maybe 122 or number 97, that's the PDF where I got that information. So it'll be a reference number to go to the PDF of that conference call, number 110, so conference call number 110. You pull up the PDF, and it'll continue on where I left off on the novella book that we're reading or writing to put on estate planning. So we're trying to cross and triple reference everything for you so everybody can find all the facts they need. And remember, knowledge is power. You need as much power as you can get. And I know you're having a great time up there in Canada with all your friends, and it's just about as bad down here as it is up there.
Well, we've got a prime minister we'd be glad to sell you.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll tell you what. We'll trade you one prime minister for Let's Go Brandon and a whole bunch of his cabinet.
Yeah, I had, from a satirical website, there was an article, and this is just a relaxing moment here. So apparently England declined U.S.'s offer to trade Biden for the Queen, even though she had passed. And the English responded by saying, "No, we'll keep what we've got."
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my gosh. That's great.
Anyway, a pleasure to speak with you again. I just thought I'd jump in and lighten the moment for a second and say hi to you good folks.
Well,
thanks
you,
a lot.
Terry.
We appreciate that.
Take care. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, James, area code 213.
It is I. My name is James Michael.
Hi, James.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Excellent. My name is James Michael. I had two quick questions that weren't, I don't think, thoroughly answered. There was one question about if you knew any common law attorneys, and you answered that thoroughly. But he also asked if you knew of any common law accountants. Now, if it's the same answer, then you don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Well, I'm going to jump in there. There's no difference between accounting with what we're living under right now and what the real thing they should be living under. It's still...
Accounting.
I guess the point on the accounting is we're not going to have to worry about the IRS, and it's going to be a whole different system. And so the old way of building your portfolio financially around your estate and your tax burden, that's going to go away. I think what we're going to find is you're going to find that most attorneys will have to be reeducated, and all CPAs will have to realize that their bread and butter of being the Internal Revenue Service and doing accounting for people that have issues with that is going to go away. So I just think it's because any CPA that's worth his salt can take care of any of this stuff. There's nothing new about what we do. There's no rules that are different from any other rule. Yeah, I think it would be fine. But as far as the attorneys, they have to be retrained. As far as the CPAs, okay, they just have to ignore the thing about taxes, and now they have to start being more of a finder of better avenues to increase your income. That's what they're going to have to do. Because right now all they do is concentrate on some way of using the Internal Revenue Code to try and benefit their client, and that's going to go away.
Okay. Second question was, when you were talking about your fees after the RV, you mentioned that, of course, you'll need a couple of weeks to get all your matters in a line, but you also mentioned that you would have a service for pre-existing customers regarding real estate, trusts. Are you talking about putting out a initial, you know, the initial slip establishing real estate trust so we can actually finalize our escrow?
What I meant was, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Carol. Go ahead and tell me what you were going to say.
Okay, well, what I mentioned was an abstract of trust. We realize a lot of people are going to run out and buy property, and we may not be available to create a trust for you at that time. But we would be happy to, even now, pre-RV, create an abstract of trust for you, saying that the trust, you do have a trust. And it doesn't need an EIN number. But if you have the abstract, at least you can have the house titled in the name of the trust from the get-go. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. So what you do is, we've mentioned this before, is when you go look at a property and you want to buy the property, you can use your own name initially. For me, it's Jim Knox. So what I'd say, I want this titled in Jim Knox and or Assigns. Jim Knox and or Assigns. So what that does is a real estate contract allows me to sign the contract before closing. And then at that moment, I'm working with the people. They don't know I'm going to go into trust. I'm getting everything done. I'm negotiating. I'm getting inspections done. I'm getting some revisions done on the house. I'm negotiating and getting this fixed to the house. I'm doing this myself, knowing full well that I have an abstract or a trust standing by. And then just before closing, you contact the people that are doing that for you, and you tell them, okay, I'm going to sign this property to XYZ Trust. So they just go in and make the change. So at closing, XYZ Trust is going to write the check, or the management company is going to write it for XYZ Trust, and then it pays for the property. So the system we use is you're hiding in plain sight. You're using your name last minute. You know, you're going to slip in there and say, okay, now we're not going to use me. We're going to put it in trust. But you didn't have to worry about negotiating with them through a trust. Why, you know, it's kind of like, why beat your head against a rock? Yeah, just use your name until you get to the point where you want to assign it over and let them know just in enough time so they can do the documentation properly and then just go in and pay for it. And like Carol saying, the abstract of trust is a two-pager, has all of the information necessary for the bank or the escrow company or the closing company, whatever you want to call them, to do the job. It's got everything they need. As 9 times out of 10, when I go with a client here in Oregon to Wells Fargo, all we have with us is the abstract of trust. We've never had them say, oh, I need a copy of your trust. They just use the abstract. It's got everything. Carol?
And
me either. I've never had to show the trust, just the abstract.
And what do you charge for these abstracts, the same amount as a secondary trust?
No, $200 just for the abstract. And then when you're ready to trust, you do for the whole trust, and the trust for the real estate is typically $2,000.
Excellent. Oh, one last question. Instead of putting my name, you mentioned that you can also hide your own name by using a president of a trust to have it listed. Could I use that person's name? And then, of course, provide the abstracted trust, close escrow, and then, of course, pay my president his duly wage and fire him.
Exactly. You've got it down to a fine science. That's exactly what you do. So the president then, let's say you've got a president. Let's say it's somebody you know pretty well, and you tell him what you're doing. You go look at the house together. He's now the spokesperson. So he's the president, and you can say, I'm the president of ABC Trust. And he says, I want to assign this through my name as president, but I want to put and or assigns because I'll probably really place it directly in the trust at closing. Again, you've just covered your base, right? So now when you go to closing, he's going to go ahead and sign as for the trust as trustee, but it's been assigned to the trust, not to him, to the trust. So it's going to be ABC Trust, and he's going to be ABC trustee, ABC's trust trustee as president.
President, not trustee, right?
Yeah, right, president. I corrected myself.
As president.
So,
no problem.
As president. And then he signs off on it, and then he gets his compensation paid to him and his departing package, shall we say, and, a bottle of booze for something, and he's done. And now the trustee takes over. And nobody needs to know that. Very, very private.
Excellent.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. I just wanted to mention to you, I'm trying to ask you very, very poignant questions to the point, to not waste your time on whatever. And I do appreciate all the service that you guys are doing, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're incredible, both of you.
Thank you.
And you talk very succinctly, to the point, and very clearly, so us common people can really follow easily. So thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, oh, that's another check we got to send out.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, let's say I'm paying dividends to you guys for what you do. How's that?
All right, we appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hello. Now,
I want to follow up on this real quick. Okay,
sure.
To James Michael. Personal note, folks, I've got a 1975 Dodge Dart I'm in the process of selling. It's a little classic, and it is in trust. And the guy that I was negotiating with last night, I happened to mention, well, this car's in trust. You know, I can work a deal with you and sell you the trust and the car, or I can just take the car out of the trust. What's a trust? So I educated him. He's got like 6 hot rods. He says, well, these things are pretty wild and crazy. I've lost control of one of them, wrecked one of them not too long ago. Maybe I should put everything in a trust. I says, well, I'll sell you the trust for the Dodge at a discount because it's already in trust. We just go down to DMV and we change the trustee's name from my name to your name. And then I'll give you, if you want to put all your hot rods in trust, well, I'll work a pretty good deal with you. Not only that, I get another guy who can help me build my other pickup. So it's a twofer. He's going to work on my truck and I'm going to sell him some trust. So this may work out real well. And I've explained before that I had a client that had a $5 million company. We won't go into the details. But he told me, I want to sell a company. I want 20% down the balance offshore and make it so. And I did. And what happened was we wrapped his corporation in a trust. He found a buyer. The buyer had me put together a trust that put $1 million in the trust. That was 20% down. And then they just changed jobs. So the trustee of the trust that had the corporation wrapped up in it became the trustee of the $1 million. The guy that was the trustee of the $1 million became the trustee of the corporation wrapped in the trust. Everybody was happy. Was there a sale? No. There was no taxes due because there was no change of ownership, just change of management. Let that one sink through. Let's think that went through, folks. That's a really good trick. So well, we've done that on a $5 million company, and we actually, there's another rest of the story. I shall write that story. I will, and I'll put it on the website. It's an interesting story. I got to get permission from the guy, which I can. It's no problem. I will be no names that you'll recognize. But this deal with the car in trust, you think this thing through with me, folks. I explain the car's in trust. We all just got to change the trustee's name. But the car's in trust, and if you lose control and you wreck it, the only thing they're going to get is this car and maybe go after you personally. But if all the rest of your hot rods are already in other trusts, they can't touch those.
Exactly.
So that may be something we want to consider helping people do is if they have a vehicle in trust, that we could work with the people that are buying the vehicle and maybe have them take over the trust, and that way they can get some more money out of the car. Sell the car and the trust for more money than just the car. Just keep it in mind. Another service we're going to offer, Carol.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm not sure if we have one more question. Oh, now we have another question. Before I get to that one, Mark, your name is still up here. Did you have any more questions, Mark?
Did I? No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Thank you. Okay, Daryl, you're up.
Daryl? Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, Carol and Jim. This is Daryl Davis from Los Angeles.
Okay.
On the abstract, I have to create another one. I can't use the one that we were originally assigned to me to buy real estate.
I have to rephrase the question. I lost you, Daryl. Even though we already sent you an abstract, and you've used that abstract?
No, when I sent the original trust.
The original trust.
Correct.
Okay, so the abstract with your original trust is just for banking and for your exchange, for everyday stuff. The abstract that we're talking about is specifically to buy a piece of property. So
okay.
The abstract for that trust is for your mother lode trust. The new abstract is for, like I said, you want to go buy a house and you want to put it into a trust, but Jim and I are doing our thing. Having the abstract ahead of time will allow you to go buy a trust anywhere, anytime. So here's how I want this trust titled. How I want this real estate titled. Different deal.
Okay. So for the $200, is there a time frame that I have to use the trust, or I mean the abstract?
No. But we suggest you get possible. I mean, from everything that we're all reading, you know, we don't do dates and rates and stuff like that on this program. But for everything that we're reading, it does appear that this RV is almost there. And Jim and I are aware that a lot of people have been looking at houses, and when they get their money, they're going to want to go ahead and buy a house and tie it up while they can.
That's right.
We may not be available to do your trust in the time frame that you want it. And that's why we're offering that you could have a little head start. You have your abstract of trust, and you might not want to buy a house, you know, the day after you get your money. You might actually want to wait for 6 months, but at least you'll be ready to go. You still need the entire trust, but the abstract gives you gives the title company the information that it needs regarding the trust.
Okay, sounds good. I'll get the money over to you guys as soon as possible.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, you guys have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye. Bye. Thanks. All right, let me expand on that real quick, Carol, on the abstract. Okay, so every time you get a trust, you get an abstract with it. That abstract is to be used in the future if somebody wants to know more about the trust. You show them the abstract. You don't show them the trust. You show them the abstract. The abstract is there. The most valuable tool that you'll have if you're trying to get something done, because you don't have to drag the trust out there in all the minutes, and it's private. You don't want them to see that stuff anyway. Just use the abstract. The abstract is always with the trust. It's in the binder when you get it. We email it to you before we even ship the binder. So what we're looking here at doing is Carol's brilliant idea, and I totally think this is great, that if you're going to get a real estate trust and you don't have the $2,000 and you don't have the address for the trust anyway, or address for the house anyway, use the abstract. When you send us the information, it's a full application. We actually do the database at that moment. We build the abstract. We build the whole database, the whole nine yards. Then when we have the time or when you're ready for your trust, it's just a matter of us opening the file and start printing out the seven sections that make up that trust and then put it in a box and ship it to you. So the abstract is everything you need to open your account. It's everything we need finish your trust as fast as we can. Well, we'll send you the abstract within the same day, probably. We get the application. So that's why we put this together. We may not be able to get to the trust and get it all boxed up. You were being shorthanded and, you know, this, that, the other thing. But the abstract is simple. It's a two-pager. We can bang it out, throw it in into a PDF, and then email it to you, and you're ready to go. So keep that in mind. And it, for $200, it's quite a service.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's 10 after the hour. We have one more caller, and then we're going to call it a day. So okay. I guess the guy I was going to call on changed his mind. I guess we don't have any more callers. So, Jim, would you like to close?
Sure. I'm on the West Coast still. Unfortunately, I'm still in Oregon. We have a forest fire situation here. It's nasty out. You can't see the sun. It's terrible. And which I'm moving, you know, I'm going to Florida. So the best way to get a hold of me is by email at securityindicatorinformation.com. And I'm pulling up my other information here in just a second. I got behind the eight ball here. There he is. So my number to get hold of me is an 800 number. It's 866-341-6907. And I work Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. And that's it, Carol.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. And thanks to all of you today for your time and attention. We really appreciate your participation. It makes a big difference to us. My name is Carol Werlius. My number is 877-333-5 or 206-915-4236. I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Best way to reach me is by email also. My email is info@indicatorinformation.com. Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody. Go RV and God bless America. See you next time. Bye-bye.